And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And I looked at some other versions, and I'm here to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, no other version does this verse right like the old King James. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? One little version simply asks, Who is this? No. That does not get it. I like how the old King James put it. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Holy Father God, as you know, we are weak and feeble and getting weaker and more feeble. And so, Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon your wretched, unprofitable servants, and forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew, and fill us with the power, the energy, the unction, the anointing of your Holy Spirit from on high. And Lord, make your holy word come alive to modern listeners here live and around the world live, and on demand here in a few minutes. And Lord, we pray that you'd rebuke the hinderer and the accuser of the brethren, rebuke the devil and his demons and his hosts. Lord, from this time, rebuke his demonic forces manifested through Judas's and Sanballat's and Tobias's, even in our modern times. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for souls to be saved through the preaching of the gospel tonight, and that Christians would be encouraged and revived. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. The story of Jesus and the sudden storm. Ladies and gentlemen, by way of introduction, allow me to share with you what John MacArthur wrote about this passage. Dr. MacArthur said, the small group of disciples who followed Jesus were the true and open believers, those who were publicly and permanently committed to him. The boat they entered into was probably a small open fishing craft of the type commonly used by fishermen such as Peter, James, and John. By the way, these were real men. These were not sissies. For back in those days, this was very hard work. The Sea of Galilee, and Dr. MacArthur goes on, lies just over 600 feet below sea level, near the northern end of the Jordan River. Mount Hermon rises 9,200 feet to the north, and strong northerly winds often plummet down the upper Jordan Valley with great force. When they meet the air over the Galilee basin, the intensity is increased. Hitting the cliffs on the eastern shore, the winds swirl and twist, causing the waters beneath them to churn violently. The fact that they come quickly and with little warning makes the storms all the more dangerous and frightening for human beings. And so, beloved, as we noted in our message on yesterday, when the 12 disciples of Christ entered into the ship with Jesus, they had no idea where they were headed next. They did not know where they would next lay their heads or when they would next see their families again. However, unlike others, the wannabe disciples, these disciples did not let that keep them back from following Jesus. As Dr. John MacArthur said, these were the real disciples. They were committed to Christ. They were down for the Lord, if you will. And whatever takes place, they were in. It turns out that what was in store for them was a great storm. This is oftentimes the case for the Christian committed to Christ. Storms arise. Matthew reports, "Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves." This was a serious storm. When the waves cover your boat, you're in trouble. Violent storms were frequent on the Sea of Galilee. Knowing all things, Jesus would have known the weather report before he got on the boat. He knew already that the storm was coming. Yet he permitted the disciples to sail into the storm without telling them what was up. It is important to note that this storm came not because they had been disobedient, but in spite of their obedience to following Jesus Christ. These were, if I may remind you, the true disciples. These were not the wannabes. Because, see, the wannabes would have jumped out of the boat and swam back to the shore. Jumped on another boat or a raft or something. They would have forsaken Jesus and let Jesus sleep right on through the storm. This reminds us that sometimes God allows us, beloved, to go through storms in life in order to test our commitment to Him, our faith in Him, or to teach us important lessons as He does with the disciples in this passage. Someone once said that you're either entering into a storm, or you're in a storm right now, or you just came out of a storm, such is the case for most Bible-believing Christians. You might as well accept that. You might as well get used to that. This is no easy path. One Christian writer wrote many years ago, "This is no easy road, the Christian life. It was hard for Jesus, and it's not going to be as hard for you as it was for Jesus, because He paved the way for us, but it will be hard if you are a true born-again Christian." And what is so sad today in our society is we got these little puff Christians who try to tell everybody that peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah talked about this, how the prophets, the false prophets and the false pastors and the false priests would say to the people, now, it's going to be all right. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Everything's going to be all right when that's a lie. Everything's not going to be all right. Things and everything in your ministry is not going to go well. It's just not. I'm sorry. No matter what kind of front you put on. No, your marriage, your Christian marriage, if you're truly serving God, is not going to be perfect A1 all of the time. It's just not. And you need to stop lying about it. And your family is not either. And your children are going to go through stages. Some are going to go through what I call demonic stages. You're going to have opposition on the job, in your business, in your family, in your home life, or in the church. One preacher said the other night that most preachers die on Monday. I didn't know that myself. I didn't know. I never thought about dying on Monday. Monday was my day off. I was not going to die on Monday. Monday traditionally has been my day off for the past 40 years. I know some preachers, they take off on Saturday. To me, that's crazy. I take off on Monday. And if you're not careful, I might take off Tuesday too. But I never thought about dying on Monday. But he said most preachers die of a broken heart and of a heart attack on Monday. And many pastors have their resignation letter already written up and signed. Notice the difference, my beloved, between the reactions of Jesus and the disciples as this great tempest tossed their ship on the sea. And by the way, they were not on the Titanic. This was just a little fishing boat. They were in peril in the sea. The Bible says Jesus was asleep. Jesus was not worried or concerned. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to Jesus? He already knew what was happening. He was probably taking advantage of the waves. You know how we like the little motion when we're sleeping? If you wanted to quiet our dog Sal down, you just put in the car. She'd be quiet and just as calm. She loved that vibration, that riding idea. He had come into the ship to get away from the crowd so he could rest a while. You see, Jesus was extremely wise. I feel sorry for these preachers. I have a white preacher down in Georgia, and he told me, he said, and it was probably, it was half compliment and half accusation. He said, preacher, he said, I noticed something. He said, we white preachers, we'll work ourselves to death in the ministry until we get into the grave. He said, now, you black preachers, y'all take breaks. And y'all don't get all stressed out and have heart attacks like we do. We got in the ministry and so forth and so on. And I said, well, brother, I don't know how to take that, but I'm not going to tell you his name. His name, some of y'all might know him. I said, it sounds like you're paying me a compliment. You're paying black folks a compliment. They're smarter than white folks, I guess. If that's what you're saying. Jesus was all about serving people and ministering to people and preaching the gospel, but he was also about taking a break every now and then. Your body, your human body just has to take a break. And so he was asleep. He was resting. And that's what he was doing. His peace was not dependent on outward circumstances. His peace came from within, deep within. Do you have that kind of peace tonight, my dear friend? Or while you're listening to me or watching me right now, you have some Ambien in your system, and you're almost on the verge of tripping out. of falling asleep. Do you have to hit the bottle for peace? Do you have to hit something, some kind of drug, before you have a little peace in your mind? But that's not true peace. Some kind of drug or some kind of alcoholic beverage gives you peace, that's not true peace. Only God can give you this kind of peace that Jesus displayed in this little ship while the storm was raging. Do you have this peace, my beloved? Do you have this peace in your heart? So many people don't. It's a rarity today to see people who have true peace. But when you meet them, you can tell. You can tell they have it, buddy. They have it. I was sitting in a library one day. I was married. I was a much younger man, much more handsome than I am now. And I was reading a book. I love libraries and I love bookstores. And this beautiful woman sat across from me. She went and got whatever she was getting, a book, and sat down across from me. I didn't notice her. And I didn't say anything to her. I just went right on back to my book. And she blurted out, "You look too satisfied. You look too much at peace. Let me just get on up and go on about my business. Let me stop tempting you," basically. That's what she said. So the devil shooed her away from me, because she saw something in me that I didn't know I was exuding. Satisfaction, peace. When I first got saved, while I was in the Air Force, this is no credit to me, because I didn't even know I had it like that. I knew I had peace, but I didn't know I had it where it showed to other people who didn't even know me. We were sitting in one of those training classes, and at the end, as they do, at the end of the class, the teacher said, "I want you to look at your neighbor," and he didn't use the word neighbor, but look at your the one sitting beside you, and anyone in the room, say something about that person. Everybody, went around the room. It was kind of a strange little exercise. You hate those little stupid things. But several people noticed me and said, "This man here, he just seems like he has so much peace. He has so much peace." It's no credit to me. That's all to Jesus, my friend. All glory goes to Jesus. And what has characterized my life, as my wife will tell you, and my children will tell you, no matter how dire the situation, no matter what kind of calamity we are coming out of or enduring or dealing with, her husband and their father had nothing but peace and joy. And I kept them laughing through it all. And because I laughed through it all, because I knew my God was in control. I pray to God, dear friend, that you will get to the point in your growth in Christ when God has God does this thing for you that he did for me. God has this way of slowing down the world and slowing down situations and making it very easy to deal with. In fact, God will give you the ability to look at things in your life that are happening, difficult and otherwise, like you're looking at a movie. You got this scene right here, this just passed. You got the present scene, and you got a scene coming. You can see it all. Many sports figures, Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, in the midst of heated competition, they have said things like, "Well, the game slows down for me. The ball comes very slow, and I knock it out of the park. Even when there's 2 seconds left, it's just like I'm living in slow motion," Michael Jordan would say, and hit the final points. This is a rare thing that only God can give you, the ability to slow things down for you and to make you see the whole picture while you're going through it in slow motion. I cannot explain it to you, but I hope to God you get it. I hope to God you'll one day get that gift, that ability, that you're not shocked by anything, you're not shaken by anything. You have the peace that Jesus has in the midst of this storm. Storm or no storm, Jesus was at rest. He was at peace. How about you, dear Christian friend? If you have Jesus, you can have it. You can be that way. Why do you get all up in arms about things when Jesus is in control? And that's what Jesus brings out here. He knew that the storm was under God's control, yea, even his control. He had nothing to be worried about, so he slept. Compare that with many of our fellow men and women today who cannot sleep even in a nice, warm, or cool bed, depending on how you like it, in their own quiet house. They can't sleep. Watch this, my dear friends. You know why there's been an explosion of new beds? Now, new sheets like no sheets ever in the history of the world, with a new material, new bed toppings. You can make your old bed into a new bed with a pillow topping. When I was growing up, buddy, you just got a mattress handed down to you from Aunt Fanny, and everybody had the old mattresses. Some had mattresses and pillows with straw in them from almost slavery time. We never heard of such a thing when I was growing up. People falling in love with their beds on these commercials. Oh, my sweet bed. Got the dog in the bed with them, and everybody just talking about bedding and beds and pillows and sheets and sheet count. I never even heard of the sheet count, a certain count you got to have to make it really be nice and smooth and all of that. And now pillows, new pillows. And you know what? People go, yeah, that's what I need, a new bed. They go get that. Go into debt for that for about $3,000. This is the best bed in the world. Then they go buy the MyPillow. And they buy two of them. And then they buy the new sheets. Then they put the pillow top on top of the mattress they just bought. They get it all, and guess what? They still can't sleep. You know why? I don't care what you buy. If you don't have the peace of God inside, you're not going to sleep like you want to. You're going to say, and then they take pills and still can't sleep. What? That's not the problem. There's something troubling your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit so powerfully that it will override the most powerful sleeping pill. And by the way, my beloved, that's not real sleep. I don't know what that is, but that's not real sleep. There is a storm, a great tempest in their minds and hearts. That's why they can't rest. Some people lay awake worried about tomorrow. Some of you are listening to me right now. You're awake right now because you can't sleep. You say, well, let me listen to Daniel White III. He's so boring, he'll put me to sleep for sure because he's preaching the word. And you still can't sleep. Now you are really concerned because I told you why you can't sleep. Worried about the bills that need to be paid. You have lived for 40 years. God has taken care of you up until this point. You're still worried about tensions on the job, about the consequences of sin, things that you have sown in the past. They're haunting you right now. Yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. And you think, you believe that some of the things that you're suffering right now is because of some sins you committed in the past. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We're going to pray in a minute. Just hold on. Don't reveal yourself. Then about family problems. Your husband, you think, has a girlfriend. He won't let you see his phone. You haven't seen his phone in 4 years. You don't even know where his phone is. You've been searching for it. You think he has a girlfriend. He goes outside when he talks on the phone. He has a big old house, 4-bedroom house, but he always goes outside to talk on his phone. While you're in there mashing potatoes, tearing the pan to pieces, mad as fire. Wife is acting strange. Looks like she's plotting something. And you look quizzical when she passes by. Yeah, because she has a strange little gait and a strange little step and walk and strange little look on her face. She's not saying anything. She just got those eyeballs on you. Then you got a son who appears to have lost his mind. You got a daughter who's going wild, boy crazy. I saw a friend the other day, and she's helped us in the ministry down through the years, bless her heart. And when I first met her, she was single, and it was many years ago. She's gotten married since, and has 3 children. And she said, "Pastor, they about to kill me, because my oldest daughter is 13. and she looked at me and said, "She's gone boy crazy, and I'm trying to save her." I said, "Keep on praying, sister, keep on praying. It's going to be all right." They have no inner peace. And so when the storms of life cloud their minds, they cannot sleep, or they turn to drugs to numb them into a few hours of shut-eye, and they wake up scared to death, not knowing what happened. They don't know when they went to sleep. They don't know who was around them when they went to sleep. Some folk don't even know their name when they wake up. Some folk don't even know where they are because of the drugs they're taking. We used to call it back in the 70s, taking a trip. The disciples did not have the inner peace, if you will, and they did not show the trust in God, in Jesus, that they should have. So when they saw the great tempest thrashing about them with waves tossed higher, much higher than their ship, they were very afraid. Just like you are right now in the little storm that you're in. And yours is not even a hurricane, it's not a Eurocladon, it's just, how shall I say this, it's just one of those little momentary storms that come by and it drops some rain on you real heavy, and it's gone in 2 minutes. And you're all messed up. They had followed Jesus into the ship when they very well could have stayed safe and dry in Peter's house in Capernaum. They could have stayed on the shore, because Peter and the boys, they knew all about that sea. They could have advised Jesus, "Now, Jesus, I see a cloud over there, across over that mountain. Lord, you know, can we wait till the morning?" But these were the real disciples. These were the down disciples. These were not the wannabes. And they would not dare say, "Jesus, I'm a very experienced fisherman. You can go ahead and get on that boat. But I'll catch you tomorrow around noontime." because I think something's going to happen out there tonight. They feared for their safety, if not for their very lives, and they wondered how Jesus could sleep at a time like this. They hurried to wake him, saying, "Lord, save us! Lord, save us! We perish!" What is your response to the storms of life? Are you at peace in the midst of a tempest? You see, ladies and gentlemen, because the Christian life is so filled with storms, that's what's going to make heaven so sweet. There's not going to be any storms up there. The sea is going to be solid. It's going to be looking solid like glass. It's going to be placid all the time. So go ahead on through your storms with faith in God. Stop worrying and fretting. You've been in storms before. And who delivered you? His name is Jesus. You're 50 years old. You're still scared of storms. You're still shocked at storm. You know why? Because you have believed a prosperity gospel lie telling you that everything is supposed to go wonderful and sweet for you as God's dear little king's kids. You're the head and you're not the tail. And all of the little slogans that you have been deceived in saying. You don't, walking around here not claiming storms, it don't matter if you claim the storm or not. The storm is coming. Bless your heart. Bless your little heart. The storm is coming. I don't claim it. And then you clap your hand together. I don't know where you got that from. You clap your hand together like that. I don't claim it. I don't claim it, honey. The devil is alive. No, the storm is coming. And it's going to rip your house apart. Your husband is going to go and be with another woman. And all of your children are going to scatter, and they're going to love her more than they love you. And you're not going to know what hit you. A Euroclodon popped up on you. Bam! You must understand, Jesus was in a sea that the storms would hit suddenly. It would shake people up. Kind of like how we used to be back in the 60s. Down in Apalachicola, Florida, when the storms would hit, or in James City, North Carolina, when the storms would hit. Boy, man, I tell you, we didn't know what to do back in those days. Cut off all the lights. My great-grandmother was like, cut off all the lights. The devil is beating his wife. And all kinds of crazy things, man. I mean, we were scared to death. Cut off all the lights. Go lay down. Pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Light a candle. No, don't. The wind's going to blow that out. Lay down and be quiet. I hear you talking to them. My great-grandmother was blind. But she knew she could see you. She could see. She had eyes behind her back. Grandmama, why is the storm so hard? That thunder scared me, Grandmama. That thunder scared me. Yeah, that's the devil beating his wife. Just go lay down. Call on the name. Call on the name. Boy, I tell you, we as for black folks back in the country, back in the day, we were just as superstitious as we could. But we went to church on Sundays. I guarantee you that. Are you at peace in the midst of a tempest, or does your mind automatically turn to the worst possible scenario? One of the lessons we ought to learn from this account is that following Jesus does not make us immune from the storms of life. Just today, one of the beautiful sister girls who's married to Mr. Housley, and was the aunt of the Housley girl who died. Christian girl, first year college student at a Christian university, got killed a couple of weeks ago, right before Thanksgiving. in the Thousand Oaks Massacre. A storm that you can't even get your head around today. Beautiful young Christian lady who served the Lord all of her life, now in a Christian school, all about trying to help people, get shot. Her friends made it out. They're probably lost. I don't know. We don't know. But here's the young Christian young lady get caught and shot and killed. My dear friend, that's a storm. That's a hurricane. That is a Euroclodon that's going to last a while. And bless her heart, the little sister girl, I forget her name, Sister Housley. She's an out and out Christian. She does not play. She's the real deal. She's not a wannabe. It took something to come back today and to talk about that. She says she broke down and cried many times during the show. It's hard. But she held herself together by the grace of God. And she's going to go on in the name of Jesus and in the name of this young lady and try to help some other people avoid this Euroclodon storm. It should give us the confidence to know that God is in control, and that if we are in His will, everything will work out all right. God has His way, and it is higher than ours. God's will must be done, and we must accept it as it is. And by the way, my beloved, if the little sister girl, Sister Housley, can go through a storm like this, you're going to have some storms in your life as well. You might as well get used to it. God gave me a prayer that I'm encouraging people to pray from time to time. Holy Father God, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us for weddings and funerals. Prepare us for life and death. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. William Cowper wrote many years ago, "The billows swell, the winds are high, clouds overcast the wintry sky. Out of the depths to thee I call. My fears are great, my strength is small. O Lord, the pilot's part perform, and guide and guard me through the storm. Defend me from each threatening ill. Control the save, say peace, be still." Amidst the roaring of the sea, my soul still hangs her hope on thee. Thy constant love, thy faithful care is all that saves me from despair. William Cowper. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your mercy, your love, your grace, for being with us in the storms of life. Thank you for the peace that only you can give, and so many millions of us have enjoyed it so well that some of us think we're the only ones who have it, but we are not. And we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here tonight, what you're doing, and what you will do. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we pray that you'll save those souls that are nearest hell and revive and reclaim the backslidden. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, my beloved, after getting to know Jesus Christ even more, if you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Ten Commandments, you're guilty and I'm guilty. The Pope is guilty. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins, and our body is taken by the funeral home people and buried in a grave, a dark and cold grave. It happens every day in this country and around the globe. And our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. If we believe John 3:16, we have to also believe the verses that Jesus preached and shared with us about hell. In fact, Jesus Christ said this about hell in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. Jesus Christ died to save you from hell and to save you to heaven. Hell is bad news. Heaven is good news. Let me tell you the good news so that you can go to heaven when you die, when you leave this earth. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That includes you, dear friend. If you're in this world, no matter what you have done with your life or in your life or with whoever you did it with, no matter what kind of evil you've done, God will forgive you and save your soul if you trust Christ as Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. No amount of works and no amount of money, no amount of family connections can get you into heaven. All of your family can go to heaven and you can go to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. Joining a church will not save you. Getting baptized will not save you. Speaking in tongues will not save you. I assure you, you will speak in more tongues than that in hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. Jumping and running around the church will not save you. Shaking the preacher's hand will not save you. Being slapped by the pastor or the preacher will not save you. Having somebody to prophesy over you will not save you. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross and shed his blood and died for your sins, was buried and rose again. And you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Now, if you need help with the prayer, I'll help you. But here's the guarantee that if you believe on Christ, you'll be saved. If you call on his name, you'll be saved. Whether you are in a church building or whether you are home or in a dorm room like I was in the Air Force on Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13 says that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus forever. If you're willing to pray, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again, follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments and sinned against you. I have committed such sins as lying and dishonesty, stealing, and dishonoring my parents, taking your holy name in vain, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old evil ways and help me to follow you for the remainder of my life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.
Why Jesus loved me.